Moneyline with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys here. Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Gentlemen, another Football Friday where we're going triple option. We're not going to touch on the Orange Bowl from way back when, but how are we doing this morning here? Our last show before the holidays.
We have a lot to accomplish.
Yeah.
We've got to go through this NFL slate. We got to discuss Survivor, and I need the two of you to figure out how to get some sort of vibe back into these bowl games. This is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they're unwatchable, they're unbettable.
Has the handle been down?
The handle's down 45% so
far.
How can you bet them? I mean, who's playing? Syracuse is favored in that game last night and was favored in the second half after watching that game.
They turned back the clock with offense too, right? Oh, what was that?
41 rushes for 20 yards.
I saw somebody like wearing
41 for 20.
I saw somebody wearing like 98 throw the football, and I was like, I'm not watching that.
I'm not watching it. The reverse pass thing that fumbled, I mean, I'm like, good, what are they doing? Yikes. All the way to the side, outside the hash mark.
I was trying to take a picture of him on the big screen and then tweet out Dino phone home, but I never get the right picture.
You know, it brings up an interesting point for a betting perspective, though, because I know these games, you can't bet them. I mean,
you're trying to control variance, right? And there's so much variance.
Yeah, on top of the opt-outs, but just for these bowl games, and I can speak from personal experience, you're not interested in these games. Mm. Coaches are more interested in getting ready for spring ball. Coaches are more interested in recruiting because of the portal than these during bowl games. Like, let's play them. Let's celebrate. Let's get that trophy and let's get out of here. Get those bowl X's and get out of here. But I think the playoff games are going to be more interesting or will be because, you know, people are talking about distractions. We practice our asses off on Christmas for the Orange Bowl. Orange Bowls. I mean, we weren't distracted. We're going to celebrate Christmas in Miami, right? And so, I mean, I think when there's more focus on these games that way, that's when you truly get the competitiveness that you want as a better.
Could they take a page from the NBA with this in-season tournament and do something like you give $250,000 for each bowl game for every player that participates?
Mm. Sure.
Well, I mean, that's what...
Do the sponsors want to sign up for that?
Why not? They make so much money on these bowl games. They used to.
Very important. The economies of these towns where these bowl games
are
held in.
I mean, why not? Why not pay the players now? I mean, everybody else is. I mean, I think that college football and the way that Chip was talking, college football is moving towards professional football before our eyes right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, once we fully acknowledge it, I think we'll all be better off here for college football.
Right.
But yeah, the bowl game's not ideal. But we do have an ideal show for you guys here over these next 2 hours. It's always fun on a Football Friday triple option style here on the Lombardi Line. Coming up in the second hour at 11:30 West Coast time, 2:30 Eastern, Will Brinson, CBS Sports NFL writer, will be joining us in studio. We're going to be going four wide on a Friday here in studio. Will Brinson's been hanging out with us here on the network all week long be joining us. We'll get his thoughts on
this week's
slate.
Are you filling out numbers? You thought they're all numbered all year?
I know.
You feeling uncomfortable now?
I was going to breeze by that comment, but...
You can't breeze by that one. You can't breeze by that.
We're already off and running. It's only segment number one. But we did have an NFL game last night, and this was a high stakes. We're talking about bowl games not being high stakes. This was a very high stakes game as it pertains to the NFC wild card. Rams go ahead and beat the Saints 30-22, and it wasn't really that close. You're watching the game. Stafford looked unbelievable once again. Rams cover. Game flies over the total. What were you guys' thoughts watching the game yesterday evening?
From a betting perspective, we're always, and I think you guys share this, concerned when everybody's on one side, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happened with Buffalo-Dallas.
Yep.
Buffalo got there pretty easy. And everybody was on the Rams last night. They laid the four, and they got there pretty easy. The score wasn't as close.
Yeah.
You know, I thought And Dennis Allen could have punted before half there and kept that game 10-7. If you pin him down, they're probably not going to take too many chances. But the Rams were the better side here. And to me, the interesting question going forward is how dangerous can they be as a wild card in the playoffs? Because they have it in front of them, and it's likely San Francisco is not going to have to play anybody in the final game because they'll have the one seed. So, I mean, what we talked about for a month, betting them at plus 155, 160, they're minus 250 now to make the playoffs 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I mean, they are hot offensively. You love the fact that they have the quarterback, and that quarterback is going to make the difference in a lot of games because of the state of the quarterback position now in the league. Offensively, they are incredible. Sean McVay's done a hell of a job with what they have and what they've turned into. Very, very young team. And that's what I want to make a point on. I really want to emphasize this, is that coaching has mattered more this year than any other year. A lot of times in the league, you know, just get out the way. I mean, you got so much talent out there. Just make sure you get out the way and just put these guys in position to make plays. But to develop a roster, to understand your roster, and to call plays offensively for your roster, as well as defensively improving throughout the year, I'm shocked at the Rams where they are right now, to be honest with you. And then on the other side, Dennis Allen, like you said, Mike, I mean, you got to know the room. You got to know your team. Offensively, you're not that prolific. You're not that great. Now, defensively, they made improvements, but against the Giants and then, what was it,
at
Carolina.
Home.
Yeah, at home.
Two inferior teams at home, and they won those games.
Right.
But this was JV offenses.
Yeah. So you kind of fall into that. Well, you shouldn't as a head coach, but Dennis Allen did. You fall into that that notion that, okay, you know what? I got Derek Carr. We're going to be okay, and I'll go
fourth
for it.
Fourth and five. I mean,
hell
I
no. Not against a high-powered offense.
He's
like
bad
that.
In the red zone, which means he's probably going to be bad on fourth down, right?
Right, I mean, exactly. And what, Hill, I mean, is he going to come in there and save the day? You know, I like those gadget plays. But, no, Dennis Allen just was not aware. Sure, you're inkling and you have the notion you want to go for it. And okay, you feel good about that. But know your room. Know your team. You're not capable of doing that or overcoming those situations.
Yeah, I just – back on that Rams point, because I asked this to Michael Lombardi yesterday when we were doing the Lombardi line here, and I was like, hey, like, do you see the Rams, like, once you get past, like, the three-tier contenders, and it probably is, there's a tier of 49ers by themselves, then there's the tier with Dallas and Philadelphia, but after that, though, like, would you put the Rams at number four in the NFC in terms of, like, dangerous teams in the conference, or can maybe Detroit do something to kind of convince you that they belong in that fourth spot there as they were for much of the season?
I think it's interesting you bring up Detroit because everyone's sort of hoping for a 3-6 matchup with Stafford going back to Detroit in that divisional
round. What a storyline.
Right? Yeah. I mean, everybody would be juiced for that. He's playing so well.
He is.
I didn't know if he was even going to be able to play again.
I know. Right? I didn't either. He's Bruce playing, spinal cord.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's playing so – and the city of Detroit loves him and his wife and the whole story, right? So – I don't know. I mean, like, I think it's the 49ers and then it's – just everybody else is a whole separate line, not even, you know, I don't think Dallas can go there and beat them. Right now, I said this with Femi and Michael yesterday, I think the Eagles might be the most fraudulent team who thinks the Super Bowl contender right now. So it's really tough. Could the Rams, and Michael keeps talking about, Lombardi keeps talking about, you can win games on the road in the playoffs through your offense. Your offense has to take control. It's not – everybody talks about defense. It's offense to win on the road in the playoffs, and you take the crowd out of the game. And they have that offense,
they
seems,
do.
Right?
They do, and they have options. I mean, they run the ball, right? You're a guy from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, and so can – you know, if Detroit – if they're at home and they can be balanced and run the football, then, you know, Goff is okay. But if you're leaning on Goff, and if Goff feels like he's got to get in his shoe out with Stafford – he's going to lose that one. Just because of, you know, if you get into 11 personnel, you're comfortable with that, and you want to throw the ball around the yard. I know Ben Johnson is incredible as a play caller. We know what they do. But just those two players are different, Stafford and Goff, in my opinion.
Do you think, to continue on with the Rams, sorry, Femi,
do
you think that if Stroud, let's say, misses this week and next week, that Nakua could still win Offensive Rookie of the Year? I mean, the numbers are unbelievable.
We were just talking about it. We were talking about it before the show, before you got here.
I think it's a possibility.
I mean, you could have got him at 20-1 before the game last night. Yeah. He was sitting there.
The way I put it,
yeah.
The way I phrase it is that, like, prior to the CJ Stroud concussion, door was closed. It was over.
Yeah.
The door's not all the way open, but it's slightly ajar a little bit here. Like, if Stroud doesn't come back, I think Nakua would win it. I think Stroud just has to come back and play. He doesn't have to play great.
Yeah.
I think as long as he just plays, he's built up enough cachet, and he was like the runaway guy at the midway point. I think he'd still hold on to win it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that door might be wider just because Nacua is going to set a rookie record.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all the rookie wide receivers. Like, when I was, my first 3 years, I was the fifth fastest to 200 catches, right? And that's a badge of honor considering Jerry Rice and considering the territory or the company I was in. Wow. But Nacua, he's going to be, he's going to have the rookie record, right? And to me, from a narrative standpoint, if you're a voter, how do you bypass that? And Stroud has had a fantastic season, but he's not going to set the record. He's not going to break Andrew Luck's record, though. I don't believe he will. No, I mean, he could go off, right?
Probably missed too much time.
Yeah.
Paul Howard made an interesting comment this morning on Follow the Money in their opening segment, saying, to his eyes, Nacua is the best rookie wide receiver since Randy Moss.
Oh. I mean, Jamar Chase.
I mean, I was going to say, I was like, we just saw Chase 2 years ago.
That's a strong
We saw Jefferson 3 years
Jefferson,
ago.
Jefferson, I mean,
yeah, I can't get there.
He's the most surprising rookie fifth round wide receiver ever. Absolutely. Yeah, 1,000%. But I don't know about bypassing Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. But Randy Moss, I mean, the guy was so sick.
I mean, Ron Moss had a special. What was it, 17 touchdowns as a rookie? Like, I mean, that's ridiculous what he was able to do there. But the point that you guys brought up about this Rams offense, this is from Restore the Roar on Twitter, who, I guess, according to his bio, likes to bet a lot on sports. says the Rams offense with Matthew Stafford, Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp on the field in 2023, they're first in EPA per play, first in dropback EPA, first in dropback success rate, first in success rate, first in rushing success rate, first in points per drive, first in yards per play, first in rush EPA when they're all healthy.
Sean McVay, man.
It's a dangerous offense heading into the playoffs.
What percentage of the year have they all been healthy?
Yeah. And Cooper Kupp, well, he's a third, fourth option,
but
right?
They're healthy right now. That's what matters. Yeah. All right, we'll get to some of the NFL news and notes on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, triple option style. On the far end, Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst. Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa. In the middle, Femi Abebefe here, professional talker into microphoner, as we're hanging out here on a football Friday.
You're an analyst. You're an analyst, too.
I guess the waters might be a little muddy there.
No. You wear many hats.
Yes.
Try to, at least.
Yes.
Trick ponies.
Yeah.
I'm an essayist. That's all I am.
Well, one thing that I do is I bet a lot of awards, as you guys know and have come to love here.
Yes.
And somebody.
Humans loves that. He loves the awards talk.
He's waiting for my Groza picks for next season. we'll get into that in August. But there's a bettor out there who had the foresight prior to the season to start to bet $2,000 on San Francisco 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy to win MVP. The payout, $200,000. And this bettor, earlier, I think like a couple weeks ago, put the ticket on PropSwap to see what they can get. Officially today, has sold this ticket, this tweet from Darren Rovell covering this thing. They sold the ticket 100-1 for Purdy to win MVP. And right now, he's minus 200. Ticket sold for $125,000. So the new buyer now would win $202,000 at the odds of minus 162 with the investment. But I guess my question to you guys, because the Niners are 5.5-point favorites on Monday night against the Ravens. Purdy right now is minus 200 minimum, even some places minus 250 to win the award. Would you sell your ticket right now if you were holding that $2,000 to win $200,000 on Brock Purdy to win league MVP?
So Pritch and I may have different answers just because we're in different spots in life, right? I would lock up the money. Might be different for Pritch. It's different for everybody based on their situation. But I mean, I guess a guy who's investing $2,000 on futures tickets probably is pretty well off, right?
Yeah.
You're taking shots here and there.
Or at least in solid shape.
Right. But I think from a vitiating your risk standpoint, I think it's a good move. Because he's doing it ahead of this game, which has the greatest variance if something should happen with Lamar or even his own teammate McCaffrey here, I think it's great to lock it up. So, I mean, he ends up hitting a ticket at 60-1.
Right.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and then he can take some of that money that he sold this ticket for and put it on Christian. Yeah. You know, or, think about it. Or, and cash in on two.
Or buy a piece of somebody's survivor ticket. Or
something like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, cash in hand is powerful. And I learned that a long time ago. And I think, you know, holding a ticket is one thing, right? And certainly things can happen. It seems likely that Brock's going to win MVP. I'm talking about the person that purchased it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, for $125,000, I mean, there's other ways you could have went around this situation. But people want notoriety. Like, what's the point of being a billionaire if nobody knows it, that kind of thing? Yeah. What's the point of nobody knowing who I am, or if I can't get some headlines somewhere? And I think we are in that realm here. Now, I don't know how wise it was to put down that kind of money for this ticket, because I still think the door could be open for somebody else other than Brock Purdy to win it.
If the guy was going to invest $125,000, he got a better price, right? He got $162 instead of $2, which is the best price available in the market. So if he was a huge believer in Purdy, he also. And good for Ian and those guys who made close to $4,000 brokering the deal at PropSwap.
I guess my question would be that, like, if you are the guy who sold like the ticket, like, which is, I mean, like, turning $2,000 to $125,000, that's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah.
NFL honors is Thursday before the Super Bowl. The NFL announces Brock Purdy wins MVP. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling that day?
You have to be willing to accept that decision. Yeah. You have to think he's going to win anyhow, right? That you made the bet. But I think it's different, too. You're talking about 125 instead of 200. We're talking in Survivor 400,000, 9 million. Mm-hmm. It's not that far off of his full payout, right? It's still so. And Andy has the notoriety. Either way, if Brock Purdy wins it, they said this guy had the most confidence. He made the biggest bet on Brock Purdy before the season. He's great. And if Brock Purdy doesn't win, what a genius. It's
what
movie
a genius. Exactly.
Either way. Yeah. Point, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, personal experience. Like, for instance, real quick story. Like, I was involved in a venture capital group, and we kind of seeded Google. And the thing about venture capital is when they go public, you sell everything, right? Or do you buy it, right? And so it's like, okay, you have a windfall of money just by a company going public, but then you'd sell it, right? And if you held on to Google, who knows, right? But
person that might not be here.
Somebody
might.
Well, I mean, there's retirement accounts that could be holding some Google stock. But it's the same kind of thing, though. It's the same kind of thing when you think about selling this ticket that you spent $2,000 on, mm-hmm. and cash out. Now you have money and cash in hand to do other things with, and maybe you might win more money, depending on how you position yourself from a betting standpoint.
Yeah. Which I think is an important point to bring up there, is that, like, $125,000 today is better than $200,000 that's coming up on, like, what, February 8th, I believe, is when NFL honors is when they would announce it. And also, Purdy still has to, like, do stuff to win the award. And even if he could be the most deserving person, and it's still voted on, and who knows, maybe people just say, I don't want to vote for Purdy, and you end up losing the ticket there anyways. So I guess you remove all risk and just get $125,000 right now, but it's, can you do something between now and that February 8th date to win $75,000? Maybe, maybe not. But you don't have to make it up.
I think there's always risk when you're investing in an opinion market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's subjective. You bet a team to win, it's objectively determined on the field.
Yeah.
The voters, Professor Aaron Moore does a great job for VSiN handicapping voters in different markets. Mm-hmm. And you're handicapping the voter as much as you are the competitors.
Well, let's handicap Survivor. The Circus Survivor is down to 10 entries, and this is a very, very interesting week here. We have team availabilities for every team with the Cardinals, Panthers, Broncos, Colts, Raiders, Patriots, Jets. I don't know how many people will be taking any of those teams. Teams who are not available, Buffalo's not available for Saturday. Baltimore's not available. Dallas not available. Miami, Seattle, San Francisco. Mike, would you like to give us the lay of the land on where we sit here with Circus Survivor?
Well, let's just narrow it down to the four games that might be chosen. There was one person that had the Rams. He may or may not have taken them last night. 9 out of the 10 have the Packers on the road at Carolina. 9 out of the 10 have the Bears. There's a Greg Jones, L.A. Jones, has publicly said he's taking the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Doesn't mean he has to, right?
Right.
But he said he has, and he's going to hedge with a money line bet on Arizona. And then all 10 have the Broncos in the Christmas Eve night game against the Patriots. I'll give you a scenario that I think is interesting. Then I want to ask Pritch if he had all – forget the Rams because we know. But the other three available, who you'd take. So you can think about that question. Mm-hmm. But the person that had the Rams, from a game theory standpoint, You take the Rams last night, and if you win, there's a chance the other nine are all on Denver. When it gets announced here on VSiN at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific on Saturday, you have 25 hours to muster as much money as you can if the all other nine were on. And it's 310 here. Find the price. You'll find $3 on the Broncos. Let's just, for math, use 3-1. If you could get down $4.5 million on the Broncos money line on Saturday night and they win, you win 1-5 and you march forward with the 10 others. If they lose, you lose 4-5 and you win 9-2. So you've won $4.7 million. And if they push, the greatest of all, you win the whole 9-2 and you don't lose your other bet. Now, if one other person's on air is on the Bears, at least those results are all known before Denver kicks off, right? Mm-hmm. You could be in a spot where it's just you and Jones if you had done that. And now you know that you'd be – and you know Jones will chop, right? We know the Golden Boy won't chop. You know Jones will chop. So you know if Denver loses, you're going to split it 4-6 each, right? Now, to you, if you had all three, I don't think it's the Packers.
No.
Would you consider the Bears or are you going with Denver?
I would go with Denver.
You would.
yeah, that situation. You know, the Bears are intriguing because I don't know if Eberflus is going to keep his job or not, but this team has responded in a certain way, and you like the way they're playing. But Denver at home against the Patriots were where I would go.
Any concern with weather with this? Because, like, we're talking about Survivor, and it's weather games can get a little bit tricky. And I know Denver has been a house of horrors for Bill Belichick, even when he had Tom Brady.
Like they sacked him that one game. Remember the AFC champ? They sacked him like 14 times. Every time he got back, they sacked
him. Von Miller went to the Hall of Fame off that game alone, I think. But it's always been a tricky place for the Patriots to go travel to out in the Rocky Mountains. But the weather would just scare me a little bit that who knows how this thing unfolds with snow on
Kyler Murray scares me.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Kyler Murray scares me, though.
When you're this deep in a Survivor, I think everything kind of would scare you, right? But
you're sweating.
You're sweating something. Yeah, but Denver, the direction I would go in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Denver right now is a 7-point favorite against the Patriots. I think I'd go with Green Bay. I think I'd roll the dice with Joe Barry.
And you also don't want to be on the team that everybody else has, right?
I want to win the 9.2. Yeah, I don't want to win three. Yeah. I mean,
then you got to get to Christmas, though.
You do. Then you got to do the whole thing the next day.
I think Christmas becomes irrelevant. You're going to have a huge upset there.
Yeah.
It's only the first two games. Nobody has the night game in San Francisco. Right. So nine have the Eagles, two have Kansas City, and the one guy has both, so he could use Kansas City and still have.
So nine's got the Eagles,
Yeah,
and the Eagles play the Cardinals, I believe, next week, week 17. So you can kind of keep that as your ace in your back pocket there. All right, hour number two starts with high ability or liability here on the Lombardi Line.
Let's go! This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. You can watch us on the DraftKingsNetwork.com, VSiN.com, Samsung TV, Zumo Play, Roku, wherever you desire here. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and Colorado Buffalo national champion in the early 90s. This has been a fun first hour that we had. Fun second hour on deck, starting at two segments from right now, 30 minutes. Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, will be joining us in studio as we'll go over all of his thoughts for week 16 in the National Football League. Who does he have winning this Ravens-Niners game? Could be a Super Bowl preview. We'll ask Will about that coming up in about 30 minutes. But let's begin hour number two with high ability or liability. Questions put together from our producer, Brian Ortega, behind the glass, doing a great job here. And we will start with the premier game on Sunday. Cowboys at the Miami Dolphins right now, where the Dolphins are a 1-point favorite, total sitting at 50. And the question is, can the Cowboys finally display high ability against a real contender on the road?
Well, something's got to give, because Miami hasn't beaten a team with a winning record, and Dallas has had the road blues. They're the first team in the history of the modern NFL, Pritch, to be have at least 170 positive point differential at home and a negative point differential on the road. So it's a historic, a historic dichotomy. I don't know if I'm going to bet the game. I don't think weather, like you said, it's going to be 75 in South Florida. Weather will affect the game like it did in Buffalo. I don't think the crowd will be as loud as they were in Buffalo. Right. That will affect the snap count for the Cowboys and the offensive line getting beat in the pass rush. I think it's a high-scoring game. I lean Dallas, but I probably will end up playing over 50.
You know, that Buffalo game was interesting to me because it feels like McCarthy went into it thinking that he's going to have to score at least 30, and he called the game that way. Thinking about the other side, okay, Miami, how powered they are. Is he going to go into this game thinking, I got to score 30 again, right, offensively, from a play-calling standpoint? Or is he going to be a head coach and manage the game and understand what's going on both sides of the ball? You know, Tyreek Hill and that ankle is a factor, significant factor. The thing about Dallas is they don't match up well defensively against 11 personnel. Buffalo exposed them, certainly, but then they got the running game, and they used Cook in a way that they should. Miami's capable of doing the exact same stuff with the personnel that they have, and you wonder what kind of adjustments Quinn's going to have and what can they do, what can they get to defensively. And it's not a lot, you know, from a matchup standpoint either. So I'm leaning towards Mike thinking he's going to have to score a lot of points with Dallas in that offense. And how are they going to get there? Are they going to lean on a running game or going to be like, hey, Dak, we have to see you play extraordinary football in this football game? And can you lean on that with Dak on the road against Miami?
Well, I guess my question is, will they be able to score a lot of points? Because there's injuries across the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like Zach Martin, the all-pro guard, he should be able to play. He went through walkthrough practice today, according to John Machota, who covers the team for The Athletic. But Tyron Smith, the left tackle, that's the big question mark with the back injury. Tyron Smith did not practice at all this week, and they said that his availability for Sunday will be determined by what he's able to do tomorrow during a walkthrough. So if there's no Tyron Smith, who, if you follow the Cowboys, you know the on-off splits. When he's on the field, offense is really good. When he's off the field, offense isn't good, and Dak's a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. If they don't have him out there, is it Bradley Chubb and those Dolphins pass rushers kind of coming at Dak Prescott? Because this is a Dolphins defense, and I know Michael Lombardi, the namesake of the show, has been high on the second half of this season.
Well, what do you think? You watch Dallas as much as anybody around here because that's your team.
I watch a lot of them, yep.
What's your outlook on this game?
I think this is a fork in the road game where I think Cowboys actually win. Mm-hmm. I do think they win. I think they're able to make the Dolphins, and particularly Tua, uncomfortable here with the pass rush that they have there. And the Dolphins, I mean, we talk about Cowboys offensive line. Dolphins offensive line has a number of injuries as well.
I know turnovers are the biggest determinant factor if you say one thing, but I think they're going to have to turn Tua over multiple times in this game.
Right.
Because Miami's going to hit big plays. Mm-hmm. You know this Dallas defense takes risks.
Yep.
That's what they're trying to do, convert turnovers here, right? It's not that they're going to go out there and make you grind out a 14-play drive. They're trying to turn over and take chances. So if they can either force Tua to fumble, he does fumble the ball or throw a couple picks, then I think, to your point, McCarthy will be able to settle into a game plan and not feel rushed.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And that's, to me, is the game, right? Because from a play-calling standpoint, he knows what he wants to do. And then as a head coach, you got to manage that, though, right, of both sides of the ball. And special teams failed him, too. And you see discussions. And I think guys who I had the fortunate a chance to play for, like Mike Shanahan and Holmgren, I mean, they knew how to manage a game as well as call plays.
The point of Shanahan, you mentioned, Mike, do you, in the handicap of this game, transpose the game in the Bay, knowing that Miami is running this outside zone running game like San Francisco does, and the success the 49ers had in that game that wasn't a contest? Does that factor into your handicap here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Miami dictates, right? And Dallas wants to dictate. They dictate at home offensively. But Miami, if they're successful running the ball, they're going to run the football. But McDaniel also knows that his defense with Vic Fangio matches up well with what Dallas does. And that's the thing. That's the crux for Dallas. And can Dallas be different enough, or can they be savvy enough to understand that and call the game differently?
This sounds like you have a strong play on Miami.
I don't have a strong play on
Miami.
Because
you're saying that Dallas defensively doesn't match up with Miami, and Dallas offensively doesn't match up with their defense.
It was a pick'em when I walked in here.
Yeah, it's 1.5
It's 1.5 now. So somebody did something between the time I walked in here and
they're listening to your analysis.
There was a six-figure bet on the Dolphins in the first half hour of the show.
Like I told Femi this before, though. Like, if this stayed Pick'em, I mean, a teaser situation would be perfect for me. But certainly,
if it is Miami.
If it's a pick'em. Now, if it's one and a half.
You're not interested in teasing Dallas.
I might be now. I mean,
you think
absolutely.
It's a close game.
I think it's a close game.
Yeah.
I think it's a chess match game.
Syndicate might have interest there on the Cowboys in South Beach. Yeah. Now, you can get them up to 7.5 if you want.
Yeah.
It's a little chuckle right at the Syndicate. Seahawks and the Titans is our next game in high ability or liability. With Geno Smith coming back to start for the Seattle Seahawks, does he present a higher ability than Drew Locke, or will he be a liability against the Titans? Seattle laying 3. It looks like we could be headed to 3.5, total 41.5.
I asked Mike first because he understands this injury and how it might affect him.
Yeah. It's all about practice with Geno for me. You know, you're going to be a game time decision, and then Pete Carroll just took it away from you. That's what he did. Geno said, "I'm good to go." Pete was like, "Nope,
said, no, you're not.
No, you're not. We practiced all week with Drew, and we're going to go out there and see if we can win this game with Drew," which I thought was extraordinary. That's a lot of respect right there in that locker room for the head coach. So. You know, Geno, we could practice earning it. If he's ready to go, then you're looking at an offense that has the ability to be explosive.
Looks like Geno and Locke have a pretty good relationship, though. If you watched that game on Monday, right?
I
mean, he was there cheering for him, and it's not like he was sullen and bitter at Carroll. And
no, I mean, the difference between Drew Locke and, say, Zach Wilson, Drew Locke has humbled himself. Mm. I mean, that interview was extraordinary.
It was.
And that was some insight into his journey from being an entitled guy to now being humbled and say, okay, now I still have an ability and a chance to become a starter somewhere. And I think from a betting standpoint, keep that in mind for Drew Locke and people like that. But Geno, this seems to be his team, and I just love the take charge nature of Pete Carroll. And he's got these guys obviously motivated at home. Now on the road is going to be different, I think. So
I took the points already here. I already played this game. I figured you would have already too.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 3.5s that are popping up. At 3.5, I think it's a little rich.
I think
for Seattle.
This game plays very closely to what we saw last week with Hughes. I think the Titans. I would look a little bit money line here too. I think they can win this game. I think this Seattle defensively to me has a lot of holes and.
Yeah.
We've seen Tennessee be able to exploit teams with weak secondaries. And so I think it's going to be tough for Seattle to go there and win in Tennessee. That's a long trip, too.
Now,
and it's not East Coast, right? It's, you know, I know they've traveled to East. Pete's been good. But he's going to more of the Mid-South here. And I like the Titans. I made very few bets this week, and this is one of them.
I was going to say, like, with Tannehill now playing instead of Levis, do you think that's an upgrade?
Yeah.
I was like, at least it's not a downgrade.
It's not a downgrade.
It's not a downgrade.
Yeah. It's not a downgrade.
And Tannehill's a little bit more state. Like, Levis is like a roller coaster.
Management. Yeah, from a game management, it's a big upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Levis is like, Levis is going to give you some big plays, but he's going to give big plays to the other team as well with what he's doing. They're like trying to be like Hulkamania out there on the field. It's like, what's going on, buddy? You got to protect yourself. Last game here in high ability or liability. Which QB will display high ability or liability in the matchup between Kyler Murray and Justin Fields, Cardinals, Bears, for the right to be called the Cardinals?
I want to turn this question into a more macro question to Pritch.
Mm.
Of which quarterback would you rather have if you were an owner of a team or you were a GM guiding your
Justin Fields?
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I, you know, Kyler Murray.
Convert more people, Mike.
Well, I mean, if you were asking me between these two.
Important distinction.
Yeah. These two, I think Justin Fields still has some upside. I do.
Yeah.
Kyler is not.
Too small.
Well, not only that, but.
You're a sizist.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I just know the story of Kyler from getting recruited to OU or not OU, but certainly his journey. But he's just an entitled, spoiled player.
Oh, okay.
And good luck if you're trying to coach
character.
That.
You're going with the character.
I am. I think Justin at least has room to grow with the right situation, with the right type of coach. Whereas I think Kyler is.
He's a good center fielder.
He's a good center fielder.
Was it a lot of money.
Was it shortstop or was it center field?
What
was it?
Okay. Center field.
Okay.
Probably covers a lot of ground with that athleticism. All right. We'll get to the Christmas slate when we come back here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment here of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer over at CBS Sports, joining us here in studio for not one but two segments. We appreciate you hanging out with us here, Will. I mean, you'd be playing slots otherwise, right?
If you were doing I played a little blackjack last night. It didn't last very long. It's one of those where, like, you know, you sit down and you're like, all right, good, decent table vibe. Dealer looks all right, and then it's like every ace is followed by like a four. And you're like, okay, all right, let's wrap this up and
step away. Yeah, that's all you got to do. Step away from the table here. We were talking a little bit about it during the break here about the 49ers and Ravens game here. Is Baltimore right now? Is that your best team in the AFC, or can Kansas City still get into the mix? Buffalo, I mentioned you kind of backed them with your exacta of the Rams to beat the Bills here. Like where is the AFC playoff picture as we're about a couple weeks away from getting to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC right now. And you lose Mark Andrews. Isaiah Likely steps in. The kid out of Coastal. He looks like he's not Andrews. Nobody is, right? But, Kelsey is. But, Likely's done a good job filling that role. I think what's really interesting to me about this Ravens team is that you've seen it over the last 2 weeks, and I'll be curious to see how it works with San Francisco on Christmas night, but they've started to activate Lamar Jackson's legs. And they didn't do that for most of the season. I think it was purposeful. And you could sort of see it in like September, October. They wanted to win the games with Lamar in the pocket. One, because, you know, this is what the Todd Monken system, you know, is what he wants his offense to do. He wants Lamar to win from the pocket. But also because now Lamar is perfectly healthy. The hits Lamar's taken this season way down from what he normally would when he's running early on in the year, especially, you know, in 2019 with Monken, when Greg Roman comes in and they obliterate when they beat Miami like 59-14 the first week or something like that. But Lamar is running like crazy. And so now he hasn't taken all those hits. And I think 12 carries this past week, 10 the week before. I think they're going to start running him a lot more as we get closer to the playoffs, especially with no Andrews and the need. And it just opens up the offense. It makes them more dangerous. And Lamar's healthy enough where he can do it. He's still got plenty of yards this year. But I think that component is going to sort of elevate that offense a little bit more and make them even that more, much more dangerous. The Bills, though, the team that I don't think anybody wants to play right now.
Will, the game of the week 1B happens in South Florida on Christmas Eve.
The Fraud Bowl.
Something's got to get. Is it the Dallas Road Blues historic economy between, or can Miami finally beat a winning team?
I don't know what to think about the Dolphins because I watch them and I believe in Mike McDaniel. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good coach. I know Tyreek Hill's a good football player. Tua is playing the best football of his career. Jalen Waddle's awesome and does a fun duck dance. Raheem Mostert is a really good running back. Like, it all fits and makes sense. And they can't beat anybody who's good. Now they've walloped bad teams. I think they average 33 plus points per game against teams below 500, but just 17 against good teams. That's just a red flag. So I think what will be very interesting is how they utilize this run game, in particular against Micah Parsons. We saw what the Bills did. Micah Parsons fell to 11 in the draft for a reason. It's because as an off-ball linebacker, he's not the same player that he is as an edge rusher. Now, credit to Dallas for drafting him and having the forethought to put him in that role. But the Bills turned him into a run-defending off-ball linebacker, and he's not as an elite a player as he is when he's just purely rushing the edge. So if Mike McDaniel can do that, then I think this Dolphins run game can really get going. And off that run game, you get the play action stuff to Tyreek. I think I like the Dolphins, but I would not bet this game unless I was taking the over. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't take the under. I think it's just fascinating to find out, Rich, which team is going to identify themselves as not. They're not really frauds, but you know what I mean.
Well, Mostert has, 20 touchdowns, right? Yeah, I mean, the guy's incredible. The running game's incredible. I was going to ask you about Miami and what the flaws are, because you look at their schedule. They got two of their last three at home, and it's Dallas, Baltimore, Buffalo. I mean, they could get the number one
seed. They could miss the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they could. Or they could make their number one seed, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the flaws with Miami, like, what's more likely, I guess? I mean, they haven't won a game against a winning team, like you mentioned, but then if they get hot, though, you kind of like the setup with that roster, though.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, I mean, and this happens just like in, you know, just my, you know, we focus a lot on skill position guys because, you know, that's what, you know, fantasy football pays the bills, all that stuff. But, dude, the Connor Williams loss at center, yeah, that is a big loss. You saw it immediately when Eichenberg had to shift over and get under center. I mean, Tua fumbled that snap. And, I mean, Williams is playing at an all-pro level, like he, or at least Pro Bowl level. I think that that, especially with the way that they operate the run game and how important it is to keep Tua upright, that's sort of what I'm watching. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if, in order to sort of like the chess move from Dan Quinn here, slide Micah Parsons inside, put him over, like put him over the center and let him rush like that and see, just see what you can generate in terms of the pass rush up the middle on Tua, get him uncomfortable, get him off of his spot and force him to, you know, try to throw on the run. And if you do that, it sort of make my, like, I think if you can get a lead against Miami and force him to be a little one-dimensional, granted, you don't really want them throwing the ball deep to Tyreek, but I mean, like, I think a bunch of dropbacks is a bad thing here for Miami.
We're hanging with Will Brinson, senior NFL writer over at CBS Sports, talking all things Week 16 in the NFL. Let's get back to your bets here, Will. Before last week, it felt like kind of people had sort of forgotten about the Detroit Lions. Like, they had lost to the Chicago Bears, and 2 weeks prior, they lost on Thanksgiving. But yeah, it was like they were wobbling a little bit. There was like a standing eight count, but they had the big performance last Saturday against Denver. Do you like them this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings? They're laying 3 right now, totals 47. Detroit with a chance to clinch the division for the first time since 93.
Yeah, nothing like coming out of Vegas and doing like a VEASAN show and having a bunch of road chalk, right? Real sharp. I mean, look, you know, I do like the Vikings this week. I mean, the Lions this week, excuse me. You know, this is a team in Minnesota that's done a really good job of staying afloat. Like Kevin O'Connell, KOC should get some love for Coach of the Year. Yeah. It's wild how many candidates there are for Coach of the Year like this season. Just the fact that Minnesota's still the 7 seed with all of the things that have happened in terms of that organization with the injuries. I mean, Madison tack on to like the 3 quarterbacks. Clearly Josh Dobbs, it was a Cinderella story. O'Connell realized that, you know, he puts Mullins in there. You saw, I mean, like Jake Browning gets the heat for the interception to BJ Hill that he threw while he was sitting in his lap. But like, I mean, Nick Mullins had some bad plays on Saturday against the Bengals in terms of not being able to convert in the red zone. And I think that's going to show up against Detroit here, particularly when you look at the defense from Minnesota and how they like to attack. Brian Flores is the most blitz-happy guy in the league. I think he's like at 58%. I mean, the rest of the league's somewhere in like the 30s percent maybe. And when you look at the Lions' weapons, Amon St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, and then Sam Laporta, who's having a decent look for Rookie of the Year too, I think. Those guys are so dangerous in the short and intermediate area, and Goff can get the ball off quickly. You have a very good front in terms of protection for the Lions. I think they can withstand the blitz, get the ball out quick, and then you get a lead and you get downhill with David Montgomery, and that's a problem for the Vikings, who then trying to come back, I think, with Nick Mullins against that Detroit defense won't work.
Will, you were born in North Carolina, graduated from NC State. Your AD, Boo Corrigan, kept Florida State out of the playoffs.
I should say, I'm technically in NC State. It's my alma mater.
Okay.
But alma mater.
I didn't graduate is a technicality.
It's a fluid term.
You haven't asked a question. He's giving you like some okay. No,
VSIN is, it's, you know, CNBC.
I don't want anybody to examine my resume.
Aside from the committee and what they did, do you have a side or a total you've played in either the national semifinals?
Actually, my buddy, this is, I'm not answering, I think I'm going to take Bama. Nick Saban just terrifies me. I love Jim Harbaugh, but Nick Saban terrifies me. I'm actually, my pal Will Newman, who's a diehard VEASAN listener, we were texting earlier, and we're going to put in a couple extremely exotic parlays. One involving the Alabama Crimson, two involving the Alabama Crimson Tide. Houston to win the national title, the NCAA
basketball. Cross sports. There you go.
Okay. Houston, Bama, and Victor Hovland to win the Masters.
All right.
Yeah. So
what's the payout on that?
We're looking at like 500-1, something in that range. Yeah. I think actually probably more than that because Hovland, DraftKings Hovland's 10-1, but I think downstairs he's 15-1.
Yeah, it'll be higher. A little bit higher.
So. That doesn't really answer the question, but yes.
Well, Alabama. Yeah.
Let's go. Let's get roll tide. Roll damn tide.
You have a pick in the other game, the Sugar Bowl, Washington, Texas?
I think we were talking to Chip Patterson yesterday, and Chip was laughing. He said that he's taking a work hedge because he's gonna bet the over. That way, if the under comes in, he can start podcasting earlier. I think I'm gonna ride with Chip there and take the over in that one too.
Yeah, that's a good game. It's Sark against the Huskies. I'm a Husky fan, so obviously it's very important to me to watch this game here. But I think the Washington gets it done. But I think Alabama actually wins the national title.
I mean, it's a little unfair. I mean, all due respect to Washington and Texas, it does feel like the championship game is sort of on one side of the bracket.
Yeah, it's in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. I guess that's why they call it that. All right, that does it for us here on the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Thank you to Will Brinson for hanging out with us.
Thanks for
not
having
one
me.
But two segments. Make sure you check him out on VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern with our buddy Tim Murray here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. For Femi Benfe, for Mike Palm, for Mike Pritchard, for Brian Ortega, our producer behind the glass, and the entire crew, we wish you guys all the best of luck. Sharp Money's coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.